We're continuing a series that we started a few weeks ago, and it's called The Greatest Story Ever Told. And what we're doing is we're going through the entire Gospel of Luke, and today we'll be in Luke chapter 2, where you find one of the most detailed accounts of the Christmas story. And what we're going to be doing is we'll continue the book of Luke all the way through the winter into the spring, and we'll finish at the end of Luke around Easter time. So if you are one of those, like, Christmas and Easter church attendees, you can read along, and then we'll see you again in April or whenever Easter is. But that way you won't fall behind. Just keep reading through Luke, and it's like you won't miss a beat. But I want to ask a question before we get into the text. Can you remember, and just think of a memory for a moment, can you remember your worst Christmas ever? Just think about it for a moment. Can you remember your worst Christmas ever? Maybe there was a year when you lost your parents, your mom or your dad. Maybe there was a year, some of us, maybe we lost a child. Maybe there was a year where you had lost a job. Or maybe there was a year where your marriage had fallen apart. We can all probably think back to a time when it was just the worst Christmas that we could remember. And maybe for some of us, it's this year. Maybe you said, Dan, you know what? The worst Christmas is, it's right now. I'm living in it. This Christmas season is the worst one that I could remember. But we have our title today, which is from the text, Joy to the World. And that's one of the most well-known phrases of Christmas, Joy to the World. We sang it. We'll read it in the text. But if we're honest, Christmas isn't always so joyful. And I know for some, the older we get, the fewer loved ones sometimes are there with us to celebrate. And it feels a little less joyful, and a little less joyful, and a little less joyful. It was for us probably the worst Christmas Naomi and I have ever had was 5 years ago, almost to the day. And some of you guys know this story, some of you don't. December 7th, Naomi got a call from her OB and called and said, hey, we got your test results back and you have breast cancer. And on top of that, it's spreading. This was December 7th, you know, so it's a day that will live in infamy for the United States, right? But it was also for us, for you history buffs, but it was also for us a day that kind of lives in infamy because that was the day my wife found out she had breast cancer, and it's spreading, and that was really scary for us. And we're trying to get into the Christmas season and all the joy, and I'm, you know, very nostalgic Christmas type of person, and we get that news, and Christmas was completely derailed for us. And instead of joy and fun and all that, it was a lot of fear, a lot of terror. A lot of confusion. Is a really, really scary time. And it was maybe 10 days or so, a week and a half, a week before Christmas that Naomi was going in for her first round of chemo. Not Christmas shopping, not baking cookies. We're at the John Thurer Cancer Center in Hackensack. And they gave her, because she's so young and healthy and fit, they gave her the heaviest, hardest chemotherapy they could. And so we're going to attack this with all we've got. And we had no idea what we were going to be in for. And I remember that day, it snowed that morning, and I was worried that we were going to cancel our appointment. And we got to have our appointment. We got home, and they said, look, it's going to take 24, 36, 48 hours for her to really start feeling the side effects. But when you feel them, it's going to be heavy. I'm like, all right, well, you know, we'll see. How heavy could it be? And we get home and there's snow on the ground and we're trying to make this season as normal for the kids as possible. So they're 3 and 6 years old at the time and they can't comprehend what's going on right now. They just know for the entire month of December, we've been in and out of doctor's offices, running to different tests. Keep in mind it's 2020, right? So it's COVID, so everybody has to kind of stay away from each other anyway. And it was pretty chaotic. And we're trying to keep it as normal as we can for the kids. And so Naomi gets home from her first infusion, And there was snow on the ground, so we said, you know what, let's go outside and let's play in the snow. She was feeling pretty good. So we went outside, we made a big snowman, and we had pizza, and the kids had no idea. Right? And I remember vividly, we're inside after we had played, we had a beautiful snow day in the backyard, and then all of a sudden, Naomi gets up from the couch and she goes, I'm not feeling so good. And that would begin a 5-month period of just being wiped out. And she goes upstairs, and I remember, we were talking about it this week, she reminded me that first night when the chemo and all the side effects really kicked in, it was really, really severe. And I remember she didn't even make it to the bed, but I found her on the floor next to the bed. And I'm trying to talk to her, I'm like, hey, are you okay? What's going on? And she's just mumbling incoherently. And that was scary. And I'm like, do I call 911? Like, what do I do? So I call the cancer center, and I'm like, something has gone terribly wrong. It's like my wife, she didn't even make it to the bed. She's on the floor. She's not responsive. She's mumbling. She can't even speak. And the nurse goes, no, that's normal. But that's normal. No, don't call 911. That's normal. And it's a week and a half before Christmas. And this is normal. And that Christmas, you know, a lot of things got canceled, obviously. But, you know, joy to the world, right? Weren't feeling it. We really weren't feeling it. Everything kind of got canceled, and all the fun and everything of the season, it just kind of disappeared. And as you're thinking about your worst Christmas ever, maybe it's not cancer, but I don't know what it is, but the joy and the anticipation and the hope of the season for you, it probably wasn't there. It was missing. And we've all probably got a Christmas like that that we can remember. And so how can it be? And the world kind of asks to this day, how can it be the joy to the world? Come on, is that hyperbole? Joy to everyone? Because many of us in this room and plenty of people outside of this room would say joy. This season? I don't think so. I've lost my parent. I've lost a job. I've lost a child. There's plenty of reason not to have joy right now. Some of us are sick. Some of us are suffering. So how does the promise of Christmas, joy to the world, how can that be in the midst of everything? And people would ask, how can there be joy to the world in the midst of what I'm going through? Because it doesn't feel like joy. Is this statement just hyperbole? Is it just fluff? Or is there something in Christmas we can actually put our hope in? That's the question. Now we're going to pick up in Luke chapter 2, where we find this statement. Camera lost me. There we go. In Luke chapter 2, you find one of the most detailed accounts of the Christmas story. And we'll read verse 1 through verse 20. And if you're using a Pew Bible, by the way, it's page 750. If you didn't bring a Bible, you can grab that black one in front of you. And you're welcome to just take that home if you like. That's our gift to you. Pew Bible, page 750. Luke chapter 2, verse 1 reads, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning the child. And all that they had heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. Now in verse 10 is where we see this promise of Christmas. Luke 2, verse 10, the angel says, Fear not, behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Now the words here, good tidings, it's not really a phrase that we use anymore. What are tidings? Is tiding a greeting, just like a warm hello? No, tidings, it's an announcement, it's information, it's news. And so the angel is saying, I'm bringing you good news. I'm bringing you good information. I'm bringing you a joyful announcement. And it says, of great joy, which shall be to all people. Now, again, we have to ask, is that just hyperbole? Because there are people who would say, joy, not for me, not this year, not this season. So how does the promise of Christmas remain when you and I are struggling? How can there be joy in the midst of darkness? When Jesus says, or the angel says, there will be joy for all people, it's not hyperbole. So who does this include? Let's think about it. Think about Jesus, his ministry, his life on earth. All the types of people that Jesus interacted with, who he spoke with, who he healed, who he helped, who he served. We find in the Gospels that Jesus did not roll his eyes at the intelligent, and he didn't belittle the simple. We find that he didn't envy the riches of the wealthy, and he didn't mock the poverty of the poor. We find in Jesus that he didn't bow to the power of the mighty of his time, and he didn't take advantage of the powerless. You see in Jesus a man who was not disgusted by the sick, by their coughs and their sores. We see in Jesus a man who did not fear even the demon-possessed, but he encountered them. We see in Jesus a man who came for the spiritually confused, for the skeptics, and for the irreligious. We see in Jesus someone who came for those who try really hard to be morally upright. And he also came for those who know they are morally bankrupt. He came for the addicted, for the hopeless, for the anxious, and for the depressed. He came for tired old men, and he came for lonely old women. He came for little boys, little girls. He came to give strength to the weak, sight to the blind, and light to the darkness. He came to seek and save the lost. That's you, and that's me. What's so special about Jesus and his incarnation and his coming to this earth is what sets him apart from every other figure, every other religion. What is so distinct about Jesus as a Lord and a Savior is that Jesus knows your suffering. Jesus knows the darkness that you are dealing with. Whatever it was that made that Christmas your worst Christmas ever, he understands, precisely because he came to this earth as a man. He suffered the way we suffer. He understands. The Bible says we don't have some high priest who is distant and off and away and can't relate to us. It says, no, Jesus, he understands perfectly. So if you're here and you're grieving, Jesus knows what it is to grieve. He knows what it is to mourn. Jesus knows what it is to be hungry. Some of us here are sick and we have health issues we're dealing with. Jesus knows what it feels like for his body to start to quit. Jesus knows what it feels like to be humiliated. Jesus knows what it feels like to be terrified, like we were. He knows what it is to be afraid. He knows what it is to be betrayed by people he loves. He knows what it is to look a demon in the face. He knows what it is to be tempted to sin. He even knows what it is to face death. That's who came. Thank God that's who came. Jesus encountered so many people who were in the midst of their worst day ever, their worst week ever, their worst month, their worst year. People in his time who thought, you know, this life, it's just not worth it anymore. It's too dark. And then they encounter Jesus, the light of the world, who is not unaware of the darkness that we face, but he's very much aware. He very much knows because he has suffered like you have, and he's suffered like I have. Now, what do we have as an alternative this Christmas season? We have our, what I'll call our modern, contemporary Christmas culture. And I like those things. I do. I like the music and the movies and the decoration and the festivities. But at the end of the day, those things cannot fix or heal what is broken in our hearts. So what our contemporary Christmas culture says is, look, if you just put up a few more lights, if you hang a few more decorations, and if you turn the Christmas music up a little bit louder, maybe you can drown out the grief and the sorrow and the anxiety and the stress, at least for a few weeks. But you know, it's not working. You try, it's not working. And if you put your weight in contemporary Christmas, you will fall right through. It cannot hold you up. That's why it's so critical when we say keep Christ in Christmas. Jesus is the central figure because only he can address your suffering. He knows it. Bing Crosby doesn't. It's fun for a while. But what is it, a little bit of a distraction for a few weeks? No, those things cannot heal what's broken in our heart. All of the contemporary Christmas, whatever, they can't promise me what Jesus did, which is this: Dan, your sin is cast into the depths of the sea. That's what Jesus gives. And then, when Jesus is truly the foundation of your joy, he's the foundation under your wealth or your poverty. And you can have joy in either. You can have joy in sickness and in health. We had a neighbor, I've told this story, who said, when we were going through this cancer journey, we were sitting with our neighbors and we were laughing a little bit. And our neighbor said, "How could you laugh to Naomi? How can you laugh right now? That seems impossible. What do you have to laugh about? How can you be happy?" And I told her, look, we don't laugh all the time. There's times where we just go up in bed and we just turn the lights off and we just cry. It's pretty awful, you know? And there's times where we feel afraid and there's times where we're like, we don't want to do this anymore. But we can laugh. We have these moments of joy because we don't walk in darkness anymore. Because we have Jesus, who says, if you follow me, you will never walk in darkness again, but you will walk in the light of life. Amen. And so, yeah, we can be sick. And look, if you haven't decided to follow Jesus and put your faith in him, I'll just manage expectations. You'll still get sick. You'll still lose loved ones. You may still lose your job. You may still have some Christmases that don't live up to all the expectations. But you will have a Savior with you who knows your suffering. And beyond that, beyond hope for this world, if you say, okay, well, so what? Okay, so Jesus suffered so he can sympathize. What help is that to me? The Bible says that, look, if our hope from Jesus is only in this world, that's a waste. But what Jesus says too is, I'm going to prepare a place for you where there is no crying, no tears, no sickness, no death, no mourning, no cancer, no layoffs, no stress, no worry about money, all those things that rob you of your joy. It's like, I'm going to prepare a place for those who have put their faith in me so that the darkness of this world can once and for all be done with, and you are out of here. That is the greater hope that we have as Christians. You will still get sick. Your family will still die. You will still stress about money. It's not going to go away. But so long as you are on this earth, you will have a Savior with you who understands. That's how we're able to get through our cancer journey. It's dark stuff. It's scary. It was awful. But at the same time, do we see God's hand working through it? I can't even begin to explain how. There are some things through that journey that changed us that needed to be changed. And so we wouldn't wish it on anyone, and we don't want to do it again. We look back and we say, you know what? Thank you, God. Because even in that, we saw light. We saw light. We saw light. Like, man, God is at work in this. Jesus coming to this earth shows he is not distant. He's not far off. He understands. God gave his son because why? He loves you. And he gave you this incredible gift. And so I want to just offer an invitation. If you have not come to Christ by faith, if you're not sure that there is a place prepared for you after this, if you're drowning in the potential that the suffering of this life is just it, and then it's lights out, I want to offer you hope, light in your darkness. You can step out of the darkness you're walking through and into the light, following Jesus. He says, look, you follow me, and the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He takes us through the dark valleys, but says, I will be with you. That's the promise of Christmas. And that's what Emmanuel means. God with us, not just then, but today. In the midst of your suffering, even in the midst of your worst Christmas ever, he's there. What in the world can offer you that? Nothing. And I would argue, as we're going through this series, the greatest story ever told. There is no person or force or event who has brought more joy to all people than Jesus Christ. What could compare? Nothing. And I know for many of you who are walking through dark times, like, man, but I've got the Lord, but I've got Jesus. If you don't have that, this is an invitation. Step out of the darkness. Follow Christ. He is a light for every one of us. And so is it hyperbole when we say joy to the world, good tidings and joy for all people? It's offered to all people. It's a gift you just receive by faith. It doesn't say, okay, well, you know, if you come to church every single week, I'll be with you. I'd like you to come every week, but that's not so that God can be with you. Or maybe if I put money, or maybe if I jump through all these hoops, then, God, are you going to solve my problems? Look, when you put your faith in Christ, he might solve some problems, might not solve some others. You might get some new problems. But the promise of Christmas, of Jesus coming to this earth, is that he will be with you through them. And that the God who created you and this entire universe loves you more than you could possibly imagine. And for that reason, if no other, joy to the world. If you haven't made that decision to follow Christ simply by faith, I encourage you, he invites you to leave that old, dark life behind. Walk in a newness of life. Walk in the light with him. For those of us who are grieving, those of us, many of us who are sick, those of us who are just financially drowning, I understand how those things could rob you of your joy. But you have a Savior who knows what it is to be poor, who knows what it is to be hungry, who knows what it is to be afraid. He knows what it is to be betrayed and humiliated. Run to him this Christmas season. Keep Christ as the central figure of this season. Let him be the source of our joy. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this Christmas season. I thank you for coming into a world that is incredibly dark. You lived in it. You've seen it. But your word says that you are a light for our darkness. That's why you came. And so, Father, I pray for those of us here who are suffering, who are grieving, who are sick, who are stressed. This is why you came. And I thank you, God, that you understand it. You understand what we're going through. And I also thank you that there is something beyond this world where all of that will be done away with. And I thank you, God, that that place lasts a lot longer than this place. So I pray you would encourage us with that truth. That we wouldn't get caught up or try to drown out our grief or our stress with festivities or music, but that you would ultimately be central in this season. I thank you for what you've done for us. I thank you for what you've done in my life, Naomi's life, how we've seen your hand work in even our darkest moments. I pray for each one of us here that you would show glimmers of light in the dark world here. And I pray for those who have not yet decided to follow you, that today would be that day. They would step out of the darkness, step into a new life. I thank you for this time today. Thank you for this season. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. invite Josh and Jen to come up for our closing hymn.